Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on April 25th, 2025. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us for the Friday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart today. And Waymo says it's now delivering more than 250,000 paid robo-taxi rides per week in the U.S. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, Gen Z is ditching college in growing numbers and instead turning to trades and tech careers as tuition costs soar and alternatives gain appeal. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jason Wachtel, managing partner at JW Michaels & Co. here in Chicago. Now, Jason, college enrollment is dropping. Gen Z sort of rewriting the rules here. What would you say is driving this shift away from traditional 4-year degrees?
Well, life's a little bit different when you have college that averages around $60,000 a year, going up as high as $90,000 for some schools. So just by simple math, based upon what school you want to go to, between financial aid or not having financial aid, you could be in debt $200,000-$300,000, where you could use that money to start a business or get a trade and make a lot more money immediately.
Well, and let's also point out the fact that those tens of thousands of dollars, yes, it's an investment, but you don't necessarily know when you're going to get that return, right? How many college graduates end up working a minimum wage job right when they're done? So we've obviously seen this growing trend of trade work getting traction. How are young people finding success in these types of careers?
Well, as I'm sure you know, and hopefully nobody has to have a plumber at their house every weekend, but I had a plumber at my house this past week. They were here for 2 hours. My bill was $500. So recent college grads are having a little bit more challenging of a time finding a job right now. Companies are not doing as well. They're not necessarily looking to hire junior folks. But if you go to a trade school, you have a job almost immediately out of school, and you're making between $60,000 to $70,000 a year, including overtime, if you're a plumber in Chicago.
So would you say that this is a short-term trend, or could this be a permanent change in how we define career success? Because not only salary, a lot of these jobs that we're talking about in sort of this trade industry, they're unionized, there's pensions involved, there's a lot of benefits there.
You know, it's still, I think most people are still attending colleges, whether it's a community college, junior college, or a university. But there is definitely a different trend where you see a lot of very smart people that say, listen, school is not necessarily for me. I don't think it's worth 4 years and being so in debt. And now I could write my ticket to pretty much any job that I want. I could learn under, be an apprentice under somebody, and I could start my own business in a few years making over $100,000 a year versus a college grad who might be bouncing around the first couple of years until they find something that he or she is good at.
Yeah, and even if you don't start your own business, we know that these positions are in high demand. Are we also seeing this sort of mindset shift as far as employers go and industries in response to this? I think if it were me, I'd care more on can you do the job, not do you necessarily have the piece of paper to prove it.
Yeah, I think right now, if there was ever a stigma, has completely changed. I think there's a lot of people that realizing that the trades are a very good career opportunity for immediate and for growth, having job security versus a college grad that, you know, you could be let go within a few months of your job. Like if you worked at Facebook and you were so excited for that job and graduated from a great school, they're laying off 10% of their staff on a yearly basis.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for the sage advice. That's Jason Wachtel, managing partner at JW Michaels & Co. here in Chicago. Coming up, more and more people are taking a ride in robo-taxis.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It was maybe 20 years ago on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Some auto analysts predicted driverless cars would dominate. Well, that progress has been slower than predicted. And profitability? Well, that's way out of reach. Let's talk about it all with Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter based in Detroit. Jeff, glad to have you with us. This topic today is coming out of news from the company Waymo, saying it's giving some 250,000 paid robo-taxi rides a week. So is this the moment autonomous vehicles finally go mainstream, or are we still sort of in this early adopter territory?
It'll be interesting. You know, you're talking about autonomous vehicles coming out 20 years ago. It was about 2006, I think, the first time I took a ride in an autonomous vehicle and the computer filled up the whole back of a minivan, or rather of an SUV. So, you know what it took back then versus today. You know, you see the tech companies like Waymo still being very into autonomous robo-taxis, but we've seen the car companies like Ford and GM drop out because they say they don't have a path to profitability.
Yeah, what is that path forward? Are we talking, are they looking for personal ownership, fleet partnerships, or something else entirely?
Well, it started off as personal ownership, and then they realized it would be too expensive. So that's when we started seeing fleets and robo-taxis, and then we started seeing more and more issues with those. And Ford dropped out about 2 years ago, GM just this past year. They've been hoping to make these huge businesses. Now, a company like Waymo can, you know, they've got so much money, they can do this to show the world how technically proficient they are. And then you have Tesla, which wants to launch robo-taxis soon. And Elon Musk says he still sees that as a bigger profit center than selling vehicles. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah. And is it those deep pockets that separates companies like Waymo and Tesla from some of the other AV startups that have since fizzled out?
Yeah, and you mentioned there are AV startups as well. There are companies that want to do automated trucking. There are companies that are working on automated shuttles. I mean, it seemed 15 to 20 years ago, everybody was bragging that by 2020, the world would be autonomous. Well, here we are in 2025, and it's still a very small segment. You are seeing on personal vehicles more driver assists like Super Cruise for GM, Blue Cruise for Ford that let you drive in limited situations hands-free. But as of yet, you can't buy your own self-driving car, can't buy your own flying car either.
Well, not yet, but yep. Let's also talk about, because you sort of touched on some other automakers that have sort of decided not worth our time, not worth our money, but Uber and Volkswagen are teaming up. Let's talk about this. They've got some self-driving vans expected to hit the market sometime next year, but how big of a move is this?
And again, that'll be in the Los Angeles area. And this is Volkswagen's new ID. Buzz, which is a cool new minivan, SUV, electric vehicle that kind of looks like the old microbus. They're going to have some automated ride hailing in that also. Volkswagen's also working on this for other global markets like Europe and China. So this is something that's global, and it may be a little bit more of a push in China and markets like that that tend to be ahead of the U.S. on technology already.
Well, you know what? I'm a parent, and I already think that minivans are cool, and the only thing that would make it cooler is if it were autonomous. Thanks so much for joining us. Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter in Detroit. Up next, we'll have a preview of the annual Chicago Rum Fest.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Chicago Rum Fest returns tomorrow, uniting rum lovers and pros alike for tastings, talks, and entertainment at Logan Square Auditorium. Joining us with a preview today is Federico Hernandez, founder of Chicago Rum Fest here in Chicago. Now, Federico, this is an exciting event. It's pouring in more than just good vibes. So what makes Rum Fest, we'll call it the Super Bowl for rum lovers?
Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation. Yeah, we're celebrating the 9th anniversary of the Chicago Rum Festival. Chicago has been a city that has been extremely welcoming to the rum category. And this is an event all focused in education, rum education. So you have the opportunity to do grand tastings, to talk about with the rum brands, to talk about the many of the brand owners or brand ambassadors, about the idea behind the magic that comes to make fabulous premium rum.
Here's the thing. Being a consumer of rum, I find this fascinating, but I also think this would be great for, you know, bar restaurant owners to also get this kind of knowledge. But where do you even begin at an event like this to navigate your way through all that sugarcane soaked goodness?
Well, there's a simplicity behind it. And you can actually get a little bit overwhelmed when you get to the event because there's so many rum stands. But the perspective is that we don't have like even hardly any music because the idea is like to talk with the rum brands and all you have to do is start with the first booth to your right and then just follow through little by little. You don't have to, we give you a tasting cup plus there's spit buckets because you don't have to drink everything. You can taste them and then responsibly throw it away. There's water, of course. But the idea is to go little by little, and I think there's three things that you want to ask. How is your rum made? How long do you age? And give me a little bit of information about your age statement. The number that we're seeing in your bottle, what does that mean? Is it the youngest rum in the barrel, or is it, are we celebrating a 15-year anniversary? What does it mean? So those are fundamental things to go through.
And things that I never would have considered, and it's probably a good thing that I have other plans because I wouldn't be the responsible one to spit out the rum. Now, okay, quickly, Federico, what would you say, what's one rum that you wouldn't be able to leave Logan Square Auditorium without trying or learning about?
Oh, there's so many. That's impossible. It's like asking me what's my favorite rum, and I always respond the one that I have in my hand at that moment. Right? But there's many. So first of all, you just try the rum that's made in Illinois, like Star Union Distillery. We have the Chicago King Co-op. They do fabulous rum as well. And then you try to be like, okay, where do I want to envision myself? Which island, which country? Do I want to go to Guatemala? Do I want to go to Jamaica? Do I want to go to Barbados? And that's actually a part of the experience. But I can't tell you, Rachel, which is my favorite rum or which one everybody, because there's, I think not everybody likes the same type of rum. Some people like them very sweet. Some people like them a flavored rum, or other people like them very dry or with a lot of ester. So we all have which makes us human beings very particular and very and great, right? We all have different taste buds.
Well, there's something for everyone at Chicago Rum Fest. That's Federico Hernandez, founder of Chicago Rum Fest, which runs in Chicago tomorrow. Still ahead, in Entrepreneur Friday, the founder of a suburban pizzeria celebrating its 30th anniversary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the stocks are trading higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And, you know, Sam, it's sort of been a slow movement on Wall Street today, but it is capping off a strong week. So is the worst of it in the rearview mirror?
Hey, Rachel. Well, it appears as if it is. And that's, I think, what investors are doing today by rotating out of the more defensive areas such as food, beverage, tobacco, and utilities, and into the more growth oriented areas like retail, home building, autos, and technology, which had been underperformers during this market decline.
Yeah, well, and you want to talk tech really quick. We're still seeing big tech in the spotlight, Alphabet soaring after its earnings, but then Intel flopped. So, you know, what do these contrasting results say about where the market's headed?
Well, what it says is that earnings are going to be very important, not only for this first quarter reporting period, but also the guidance that might be offered by management. Unfortunately, with so much uncertainty out there, they might sound like two-handed economists by saying on the one hand this, but on the other hand that.
Well, and isn't that just, doesn't that sum up the markets in general? On the one hand, this, and on the other, that. There is also growing chatter about a potential trade agreement. So how much weight should we put into this? If a major deal is, in fact, on the horizon, is it still too early to tell?
I think a lot of weight would be, and a lot of market action will be based upon whether we do get a trade deal. Because let's face it, this is a manufactured correction that was triggered by all of this tough talk on tariffs. And I think once we start to come to some sort of agreement with our trading partners, then the risk is to the upside, meaning that those people who are still on the sidelines are going to start experiencing fear of missing out as the market moves higher.
And how does Fed policy then play into all of this?
Well, the Fed, by lowering interest rates, makes money more available to investors and also makes intrinsic value of stocks worth more down the road. So right now, Wall Street is anticipating two rate cuts this year, probably in June, and then again in the fourth quarter. And I think if we get that, and maybe even a third, Wall Street will be very happy.
Okay, I want to circle back a little bit more to these tariff talks. Do you think that we're sort of past, I'll call it the peak tantrum of tariffs, because there's been so much back and forth, on and off, on and off? You know, are we really headed toward even just having a sense that resolves on the horizon seems to be giving more optimism into the markets? But could that be jolted by, you know, another news headline today or tomorrow?
Well, I sort of equate it to a ping pong ball dropped on a table. The first bounce is the greatest, and then successive ones are more muted. So, you know, if we continue to have back and forth, the market might not react as much. If, however, we start to get economic data that implies we are headed for a recession, then yes, I think Wall Street will be fearful once again, and we could see an erosion in prices.
All right. I just have to give you props there for the ping pong visualization. Very, very helpful for me, at least. Sam, what areas of the market do you see as cheap right now?
Well, the areas that were beaten up the most during this decline are the ones that we think will do well 12 months from now, in particular, communication services, technology, financials, and to a lesser extent, the consumer discretionary category, those that were beaten up and in bear market mode, whereas the market itself was in what I call correction mode.
Thanks so much for joining us, Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Up next in Entrepreneur Friday, building a pizza restaurant business that's been in business for now three decades.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and a suburban pizza pub is celebrating 30 years of purpose-driven success, community loyalty, and entrepreneurial leadership. We welcome Nick Cirillo, founder and president of Nick's Pizza and Pub in Crystal Lake. Nick, so glad to have you with us. Happy Friday. Let's talk about Nick's Pizza and Pub, because correct me if I'm wrong, we've met with you before. It was a long, long time ago, but this has become more than just a restaurant, right? This is a place people truly feel connected to.
Yes, 100%, Rachel. It's great to be back on the show again. I'm grateful. Yeah, I've been on the show before because of, 30 years in business. There's some ups and there's some downs and there's some ups again, you know. And I've talked to you guys before when we've gone through some of those rides, for sure.
Yeah, well, let's start with one of them. Like, take me back to 2011. This is when you, like many business owners, faced a big old dose of adversity.
Yes, we sure did. Yeah, 2011, we had just coming out of the recession, the Great Recession, with tight cash flow. A lot of restaurants were experiencing that. And on top of that, we had a big road construction project in front of our newer restaurant. And that killed business on top of already bad times. I thought we were going to have to close the doors, and sent a letter out to all of our regular guests that we were going to probably have to close the doors, and was just honest about that. And the guests came back and said, no, we're not letting that happen. And they unbelievable return we got on guests coming in and saying, we're going to support you, Nick. And that was like a Kickstarter before Kickstarter was a thing.
Okay, well, now, Nick, that begs the question, is the pizza that good, or is there something really, really special about this eatery itself that clearly the community thinks it's worth saving?
Yes, I think it's two parts, Rachel, honestly, and I think that's the lesson to being around for 30 years, is the what we do, right? Our product, our pizza, is that good. I mean, it's a family recipe, been around for 50 years. We make our stuff from scratch, the dough, the sausage, all that stuff. That's part of it, what we do. I think the other part that makes a big difference is our culture, our people first as well. That's, I know a lot of people say customers first. I agree, but first I put the employees first, and then the team takes care of our guests. So I think that's the formula, consistent product, what we do for 30 years. My dad used to tell me when I was first starting out in the business, he goes, Nick, in the restaurant business, you got to be consistent. Even if people don't like it, whatever you're doing, they don't like it the same way every time, they'll still come back. So I believe that.
We're creatures of habit, of course. Now, Nick, you've also coached other business owners. So what would you say has been the biggest mindset shift that entrepreneurs need to succeed, not just financially, but sort of, as you mentioned, culturally?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I started taking care of my people and doing these things because that's the way my grandma taught me and my parents, But I started to put a system around the culture. And that system says, okay, let's be explicit about our purpose. Let's be explicit about our core values. And then put that in the training, put it in the decision-making process. And as a result, we got really low, high retention, low turnover, higher margins, all those things have been a result. And then other businesses started coming to me and asking, hey, how are you doing this? Why? So I started training because I believe this is, what I could help society with is creating positive workplaces, work environments. So I started another business called the Trust and Track Institute, where I actually teach, emotional intelligence, leadership, and how to create a positive work environment.
Well,
and the organizations.
Your company, your employees, your culture's success translates then into, the business's success all around. All right, quickly, Nick, what's your go-to pizza order after 30 years in the biz? And keep in mind, I haven't had lunch yet, so don't be too cruel.
I love our Nick special, not because of the name, just because of the sausage. Sausage, mushroom, onion, green pepper on a thin crust tavern. The original Chicago-style tavern pizza. My dad worked for Mama Celeste back in the day. Some of the old-timers might know Mama Celeste. So that's how long our thin tavern-style pizza has been around.
Thanks so much for joining us. Nick Cirillo, founder and president of Nick's Pizza and Pub, a location in Crystal Lake. Still to come, we'll have an update on the chicken sandwich wars taking place here in Chicago.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago's fried chicken sandwich scene is a booming one as hometown favorites and national chains alike rush to open up locations and feed the city's insatiable craving. So let's check on the latest on the battle with RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI here in Chicago. RJ, let's just admit it. It's a full-blown fried chicken frenzy. Nothing else to say. But why is Chicago wrapped up in this battle of the buns?
It's not just Chicago. It's really a nationwide fad that we're seeing. A lot of growth in the overall chicken category. We've got established chains like Chick-fil-A and Raising Cane's starting to expand more locations in this area. But we're also seeing a continued growth of a lot of smaller chains. It really has been the fastest growing category within not only limited service restaurants, but the entire category as a whole. And I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I mean, I think it's a very versatile protein, a lot of ways that can be prepared. Generally speaking, you can make it work in a smaller restaurant format, and just a lot of variety you can do with the sauces, so a lot of creativity. So I think that kind of wraps it all up and kind of explains why we're seeing such growth here in this market.
Yeah, so how much of the hype is around the actual meat itself, the sauce? I would argue even the social media campaign plays a part in where people are going to buy these sandwiches.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's not just one factor, it's several driving. And I think you named quite a few there that are exactly right. I do think the social media aspect of it has really been kind of an underappreciated story. It's a bit like regional pizza chains, and obviously we know a lot about that here in the Chicago market. But you're seeing kind of similar discussions online, certain preferences and certain brands that people have affinity for. I think that's certainly helping to drive the craze. And people want certain brands to move into new markets because of that social media buzz that they create.
Yeah, and I think that there's, if you want to talk about another factor, I really think that location, and I'm not talking about like the physical location of a shop in Chicago that's opening up. I'm talking about like where the heart of this was born. So, for instance, you've got a hometown favorite like Fry the Coop here in Chicago, but now it's competing with this hot import like Hattie B's. So for some people, is it more about like a turf war and where your loyalty stands?
It really can be, and we see that in other markets across the country, too. For brands that have expanded from the West Coast, from brands that have expanded from the Southeast, certainly there is some territorial rights. And we see it with burgers, we see it with pizza, we see consumers are very defensive, and they want to support their local brands. So it'll be interesting to see how this battle plays out. We've seen it play out in other categories, and I suspect that it's going to get more intense before it settles here in the Chicago market.
Yeah, when does it settle? What's the threshold? Like, is it every other store as a chicken sandwich and finally we've had enough?
With some of the versatility, and we talked about the different ways that you can prepare this chicken sandwich, strips, nuggets. There's a lot of different ways and a lot of different variety with it. But eventually we will reach a point of saturation. And at that point, I think you'll probably have some of the local favorites continue to do well. I think some of the established bigger chains will do. You will see some smaller chains that probably enter this market that probably don't succeed. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But right now, I think there is sufficient demand for a lot of chains to grow in this market.
Thanks so much. RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI here in Chicago. You'll find past programs, plus later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the Odyssey app.